Welcome to Buy My Tilingual today. My name is Elizabeth Aitai and I'm your host. Today's guest is a multilingual language consultant and intercultural communication trainer. She supports international families maintain their home languages and cultures whilst embracing additional ones. She believes that understanding the other culture and language and knowing how to manage our expectations allows us to thrive everywhere. She has co-authored The Toolbox for Multilingual Families and How to Raise a Bilingual Child and is broadcaster at Raising Multilinguals Live and Activities for Multilingual Families. As I always start, I'd like you to introduce yourself by saying your name and telling us where you live.
Thank you, first of all, for having me. My name is Ute Limacher-Riebold, and I'm currently living in the Netherlands.
Where are you originally from? Where did you grow up?
So I grew up in Italy, but my parents were German. So they were living abroad when I was born, actually. Also, my sister, who is 4 years older, was born as well.
In Italy?
In Italy, yeah.
I come to the next question. How many languages do you speak?
Languages and dialects, I never counted them, but let's say languages, yeah, 5. So that's German, Italian, French, English, and Dutch, and then also Swiss German. I also speak a bit of Spanish and some dialects. So it always depends on how you define the languages, if you include dialects or not, and regional variants maybe. So I don't really count them, and yeah.
Well, I counted now 5 plus dialects, so we're at 10, 11.
Yeah, some more. It's the positive side of starting with several languages, and then you discover that you understand also the regional dialects or regional variants, dialects, and more.
Mm-hmm. Right? And what do you consider your mother tongue then?
Oh, my mother tongue. Today is Mother Tongue Day. Yeah?
Correct, yes.
Mother Language Day. It depends on how you define it. So is it the first language that I acquired, or is it the one that I'm most dominant in at the moment? Or so it's very difficult to say.
I agree.
If it is the first language you mean, then it would be German and Italian.
I totally agree with what you said. I find it difficult as well. And I realized for myself that what I consider my mother tongue has changed as well over the years. And it's not always how you feel that you're defined by it as well from the outside.
Exactly. Yes. And I wouldn't say that I'm currently the most dominant in a German and Italian. It would rather be maybe English, as we are having this interview in English. So I'm in the English mode. But of course, yes, German is still in my daily life. Italian a little bit less, more Dutch. So it changed over time.
So you grew up with Italian and German. At what age did you add the other languages to your repertoire?
Okay. I added French when I was 6, English when I was 11, and then I think 12 or 13 when I added Latin. That's another language I know, but I don't speak it. And then later on, I added also Old French or Provençal. So it's rather understanding the texts and being able to translate them. And also Spanish, a little bit of Portuguese and Dutch when we moved here, 18 years ago. I'm not aware of many other languages that I consciously learned. I like to be able to make myself understood everywhere I go. So I learned a little bit of Greek. I learned a little bit of Hungarian or from other places that I visited. So I wouldn't say that I really speak them, but I can make myself understood.
Which is important.
Yes, I think. Yeah. I like to be in touch with locals and to have this feeling of, I really embrace that culture or that place.
Which languages do you feel most comfortable with right now?
I mentioned English, especially because now we are having this interview in English, but also since we moved here to the Netherlands, I didn't realize it beforehand, but English is very present everywhere. There is a huge international community where I live. So I live near The Hague, and English is spoken by many, many people. And also the Dutch speak perfect English, I must say. Mm-hmm. But the most comfortable, I think it depends on what I talk about. So what the topic is about. If I still remember some terms and the vocabulary, if I can express myself talking about that particular topic. So I can say it's English, Dutch, German, Italian, and French. It's the 5 languages.
And when it comes to emotional states, what language do you pick to communicate your feelings?
So that would be mainly German and Italian, but also English. It's three completely different ways to express emotions.
Can you describe a little bit the differences you hear?
Yeah, I feel, I mean, it's like when we switch a language, we use another vocabulary, we use another gestures, other body language that we use, and words. I mean, sometimes, yeah, when I express my feelings in Italian, they are more directly expressed as well as in German. And with English, there is, I think, a little filter between my emotions and what I'm saying or how I am expressing them. But still, I think I learned how to express my emotions also in English for the reason that my children are schooled in English.
And because you just brought it up that, you know, your gestures are becoming different when you switch languages. Does switching between all these languages you speak affect your personality on like a mental level, but then also on a physical level?
I think my personality is still the same. Mm-hmm. I'm still the same person. But when I switch the languages, I can express myself in certain terms better or more in depth by choosing a given language. And I have more the impression that I can express the different facets that I have, mm-hmm. or I can explore my broader vocabulary that is given through these languages to express myself more or more in depth, like I said, in certain circumstances. So I wouldn't say that my personality changes, that not, but my way to express myself surely does, because that comes with a change of language, change of intonation, accent, of word choice, and everything.
Yeah, sure. I phrased the question a little bit wrong. It's not about the persona, but you brought it up with something about the essence of how you express yourself is different. And that also affects the personality, because sometimes you can, yeah, this in depth, you can bring out the depths of yourself much better. When you're dreaming, what language do you preferably, or does your unconscious pick, if at all?
Oh, I would have to ask my unconscious. I not always remember the language I dream mm-hmm. in. I think it, as far as I recall, it depends on what I'm dreaming. So sometimes it's in Italian, sometimes in German, sometimes in English, depending on the scene that I have in my dreams. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't say that I dream only in one language. I know that I don't.
And does the scene you refer to has to do with memories?
I think so, with memories or with something that I dream about for whatever reason. I'm not an expert about this, but maybe it's something that I dream because I have to process something in that language, and that's how it is then.
Why I brought up memories, I wonder if there are certain memories that you can only recall in this specific language that you were in that situation.
I don't know. In the dreams, maybe it is like that. I never really thought about that much. Mm-hmm. But when I recall a memory, it doesn't matter in what language I had this experience in. Mm-hmm. If someone asks me now in English about a memory that I had in Italian, I would be able to describe it or to dive into that memory. Mm-hmm. I would probably describe it in another way than I would do it in Italian or then in German or whatever kind of language was involved in that scene, in that moment.
It's very interesting talking to you because you're the first person who knows so many languages at such a high level of skill level. So I think probably you have it's more fluid for you switching between languages where there are less moments like I just dreamed in Italian again, or I just dreamed in Dutch. So would you agree that for you, coping with all these languages and switching between them is a very fluid process?
It is a fluid process. Yes, I think so.
Are you still experiencing any frustrations with situations where you cannot express yourself?
Yes. Every time that we don't find a word or a term, we cannot put together a sentence in the way that we would like to or that we have in mind, especially in direct speech, right? Those are the moments where I'm then frustrated if I don't recall the name of, for example, a vegetable or a certain kind of bird or whatever. So there are several subject areas where I can say I'm not very proficient in all my languages. So if I have never talked about certain birds or certain animals in, let's say, English, then I don't recall that name and I rather paraphrase maybe what I want to talk about, or I explain what kind of bird it is. So I describe it, for example. And the same goes for the other languages as well. And sometimes when the speech is at a certain pace, and I like to have a quite fast pace in my speech in Italian and in French, and then something just doesn't come up, then I get frustrated. And then I just mix the languages and hope that the other person can help me out, or can also translate maybe, or together we find what is the missing word.
And have you ever experienced situations where you would pick in one language over another one because you felt that might be more accepted? If you know what I mean.
No, can you describe a situation?
Maybe it's difficult because you speak Western languages only, you know, like I'm referring how, you know, sometimes people hear Turkish and then there is less acceptance in society.
Yeah, well, I experienced that with German, that is not always accepted, or that has a certain bias sometimes in people, or other languages when I speak, for example, the dialects, or I want to speak a dialect with a person that I share this dialect with. And I realize that the context, the social context I am in, is not accepting this or has some kind of a bias. Then I try to use a language that is more accepted in order not to get in any kind of trouble or any kind of fight or power struggle. Yes, that I have experienced, yes.
Mm-hmm. And have you ever voiced your confusion about the situation or your dissatisfaction?
Yes, of course, especially since I'm adult. I think when I was a child, I tried to not say much. I tried to fit in and follow the lead of those who were, yes, using maybe the majority or the most dominant language in that setting. And I kept my frustration for myself. But I learned also to speak up and to say, well, I have the right to speak this language with this person in this kind of setting. But mainly in those situations, I have observed that other people are more critical towards my word use because they feel threatened, or they feel like I'm talking about them, or we are saying something that they don't have to understand. Whereas usually it's really only because I'm used to speak that language with the other person. There is nothing personal going on. And once you have cleared this situation, usually then people are more understanding. Not everyone can accept it. And then I have to accept that they don't accept it. So we find a way to go ahead in a friendly manner. And other times they accept it and fully understand it, or are even curious to say, wow, and why do you speak, I don't know, Swiss German with this person, or an Italian dialect with this person? And then I said, that's interesting to know.
I skipped this question before, but when we talked about the essence of your persona or yourself and switching between languages, how does the rhythm of the different languages you speak, because between, like, let's say German and Italian, there are stark differences. How do these rhythms affect you? Do you have to switch your thinking or change something?
I think it's on an unconscious level. Mm-hmm. I don't realize it. But for example, if I record myself, I recorded myself sometimes mm-hmm. when I'm speaking different languages in different settings, and I was surprised to see that you can really tell when the switch happens, because the intonation is different, my tone yeah, exactly. of voice is different, my gesticulation changes everything. So yes, I think I feel the change of rhythm of the language, of the accent, of where I pronounce the words more. So I can feel it after a while. I can feel really that my whole kind of thinking also changes, it shifts. And it focuses on other things than I would probably if I would continue using that other language or another language than the one that I chose for that particular moment.
Some people I have been interviewing in the past, they would always point out how English is strategic. It's a language wherein they can reflect very well, where they're a little bit emotionally detached. And it's interesting because you mentioned earlier that for you, English is also a language where you don't really express your emotions to the same depth than other languages. So where does English stand for you? Because it's really an international language through which we connect.
Yes, it is an international language, but it is maybe our second, third, fourth, fifth language. Mm-hmm. Okay. And with every layer of languages we have, I consider it like that. Or let's say with every layer that we add that makes it more distant from our emotions, or if we are not at all used to express our emotions in that language, and then all of a sudden we are asked to express our emotions, it's like a filter. Mm-hmm. Right. And I can understand that this can happen. And this is actually also why I insisted on using also emotional language with my children by using English, because it was for them, or it is for them, one, if not the most dominant language in their daily life. So I didn't want to have this distance through the use of that language. We still have German as our communication language and emotional language, mm-hmm. among us, and also Italian. But still, there are moments where maybe their friends are involved and where we talk about emotions, about our feelings. And I don't want to feel detached somehow. I don't know if I make myself understood, but I want to be as spontaneous as possible. I can be in the language that I use with my children. So that is for me a first priority with those that I like and love. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When it comes to hierarchy, you speak now three languages in your within his family setting, if I got it right, like German, Italian, English?
And a bit Dutch, but mainly German, actually. Yeah.
Okay.
We try to focus on that because my children are 21, 17 and 17, and they live and work mainly in English. And so I said, well, we want to have at least German also a very high standard, and the same also for Dutch, which is the community language. But you were asking a question about hierarchy.
Yeah, like how often you had a shift in hierarchy between the languages?
I think maybe I can say I consider it like the dominant language that shifts. Mm-hmm. There is a theory and a method to visualize it that's called dominant language constellation. Mm-hmm. And I can say that this shifted several times for myself and also for my children, I think. It's very common for multilinguals that this happens. And this shift happened because of external circumstances or decisions that we made. Mm-hmm. So for example, when we moved to the Netherlands from Italy, I started speaking more English and much less Italian, mm-hmm. than before. So English became much more dominant, then also Dutch, of course, because you need it, and German as well. Whereas 10 years earlier, or even a few years earlier, my German use was really at a minimum. So I used to speak mainly French and Italian, mm-hmm. and a little bit of German, and English was not even in the picture for many years. Mm-hmm. Then it re-emerged because I needed it.
I'm curious, how many languages do your children speak?
They speak my same languages plus Spanish. And my son also learned Chinese and Japanese, so I needed to learn a little bit about that as well, mm-hmm. at least some terms. And one of my daughters is learning Thai, and I'm trying to learn a few terms there as well. Mm-hmm. And I'm currently learning a bit of Korean, which is not easy. Mm-hmm. And I'm doing a self-experiment, so to say, because I try to acquire it and instead of learning, really sitting down and formally learning the language. But I think now I have to be able also to read it. So that moment is over.
The challenging part.
Yeah. But I like that they are curious about languages and they want to add new ones that were not offered, let's say, by their education, but that also through maybe friends they have, they want to learn other languages. Yes, and I want to learn Russian as well, because we have some Russian friends and I really want to to learn that language as well.
That's amazing. You are an incredible family. I don't think you can get lost on earth, right?
Because depending on where we are, I think but you still can get lost,
right? Yeah lost maybe, but in terms, you know, like socially or getting lost among people and being at a point where I don't know what to do. Now, I know that you're an international language and communication consultant. Mm-hmm. How, I mean, it's evident that your multiple language skills have an influence on your job, because that is your job. But how do these language skills help you on a daily basis or add to your work?
I think, yeah, my language skills are not only language skills, but also cultural skills. So mm-hmm. what I learned is also to have a great insight, in-depth knowledge of each and every culture that I know the language of. Maybe for English, I know more about the UK than of the United States or Australia, but still I have some kind of knowledge that I have, yeah, gathered throughout the years. And that helps very much in understanding also the different ways people communicate in these languages. Let's just make the example of English. You mentioned it before, because even if we use English, we have some other baselines in our communication, so baseline languages. So maybe my way to use English is tinted with a little bit of German, a bit of Italian, a bit of French. It might not appear on the surface, but I mean, I don't have a British accent. So you hear it from the first time I say something. But that's part of me. So it's like a fingerprint, and everyone has the right to have their own fingerprint. My children have British accents if they want to, but sometimes they don't want to. So it really depends. And I really like how they can play with the accents. And I also can play with accents if asked to, without being disrespectful at all. Mm-hmm. I really like this playing with intonations, with pace of speech, with how you pronounce things, etc. But you are asking how this helps me. I think it sums it up nicely if I say that, yes, through the languages, I have a more in-depth knowledge of where the people come from. And the more I work in this field, the more I get to know other multilinguals or multiculturals or people who have been or are in touch with multiple cultures and languages. And even if someone tells me I come from Germany, but maybe they have lived in 5 different other places around the world, they have been influenced by them. And their way of being German is not the same as someone who has always lived in Germany. And even then, it depends on where they have lived. Maybe they have moved around Germany and they have a very varied kind of way to express themselves. So I find that part very fascinating and enriching for everyone.
Language is a pillar of culture. How strongly does it affect culture? How important is language for cultural belonging? And tying into that question with a follow-up question, where do you feel you culturally belong to?
It's a good question. How do you define culture? Is it a group? Is it a nation? Is it a language? Is it a way of being, a way of doing things, a way of thinking about things? So I think it's, for me, the cultural or the cultural belonging as such, well, I would say the moment that you feel that you are participating in something, then you belong. I know that there are people who say, well, if you are invited to the party, it's one step. You participate in the party is another one. So you're invited to dance. Okay, but if I decide to dance, I decide to belong. Mm-hmm. That's much more powerful. And very often this sense of belonging to any kind of group, whereas it can be a cultural group, it can be any kind of group, a volleyball group as well, right? Sure. It's also culture, yeah? That it comes from the outside. And I find it's very important for us and for our children also to be aware that we have the saying on how much and if we want to belong. Very often I say, okay, people tell you you don't belong to that group because, I don't know, you don't have the right accent, you don't speak the language well enough or whatever. Then you can also say, well, I don't know if I want to belong to a group that puts that in the forefront and tells me that I'm not enough. Mm-hmm. So that is a little bit my take on this. And when it comes to saying to which culture I belong, I think I belong to all of them to a certain extent in certain aspects. Mm-hmm. And I try to make that my culture. I define my own culture. Yeah, we have individual cultures as well.
Totally. It's a very strong perspective you have. So I like it. Do you feel as a migrant?
I think so. Yes, I'm a migrant, but actually also someone who feels that I belong wherever I am. So if we define the migrant as someone who moves from place to place, yes, I've moved several times internationally and also within the same country. So yes, I'm a migrant, or I was only temporarily in some places. I tick the box as well. And for a variety of reasons, I tick that box as well. So I think I am a migrant and I'm happy to be one.
I always ask this question, you know, because like migrant per definition is literally one who moves from A to B. It can be within one country. And I had my twists with it as well, like coming to the point and accepting it because it has this bad connotation in society. And I think it's important to talk about it because we're all migrants. And if all of us acknowledge that we are, then we lose the stigma, the negative stigma, and we learn to accept each other in a different level.
Absolutely. And I think if we were all a little bit more aware of the history of humankind, mm-hmm. we would realize we are all migrants, immigrants. We are all nomads somehow.
Yeah.
At some point of our history, people came from all over the place. And even if we grew up in one place, but this doesn't mean that we have more rights than others. I don't want to get there, but anyway. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I say I'm a serial immigrant because I keep living in countries where I don't have the citizenship. So I've been always a foreigner, and I think I'm going to be always a foreigner.
And there are benefits to it and a lot of freedom in a way.
Yes, exactly. Yes. So that's
my last question. Can you imagine that there will be only one language one day, and how would you feel about it?
Yeah, well, I think it's a little bit an ideal picture that people have. Wouldn't it be nice if we were all speaking the same language? But again, let's take English, for example, as we are talking English. The way I talk English is different from yours, is different from people in the US, mm-hmm. etc. So we use the same language, but we use it in different ways. Yes. So I don't know if having the same language or having a universal language will really benefit that much for the reasons that we said before, because maybe it's not really my emotional language or it's the language that I really feel the most related to. Mm-hmm. But if we would all grow up with the same language, it's very difficult to tell, because in different places of the world, just look at the nature, they need other kind of words to describe what is around them. So in terms of that, this language would be very, very diverse anyways. Mm-hmm. And I think the reason why we have these different languages is because people are spread all over the world and are influenced by what is around them for centuries, for thousands of years. Mm-hmm. So as appealing as it might sound, I like the different languages that we have at our disposal.
Yeah, I hear you. It's also a nice mirror of our diverse natures.
Yes. Mm. Yes.
Is there anything you would like to add to this conversation?
I don't know.
Okay. You don't have to. I was just asked this question. No, if someone had a thought that they would like to bring up that I missed to ask.
No, I think you covered quite a lot. I just like to emphasize the beauty of diverse languages and also the value of diverse languages of many different. And they shouldn't be in competition. It shouldn't be considered as a threat. But I know that for many peoples it is. Mm-hmm. But it's mainly because they are not used to be as flexible and as open-minded as being multilingual, multicultural, or international, or whatever means. Yeah. And I think that would be maybe a step or something to work on.
What you said about people not being used to multilinguals or multicultural people, I mean, it requires a lot of strength to get out of your comfort zone for either side, right? Because you constantly have to negotiate and foster understanding and change perspective and take yourself back or push.
It requires a certain elasticity of the mind, of the understanding. But in the end, being multilingual is very normal.
It's our second nature.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for this insightful interview.
Thank you for having me. Thank you, Elizabeth.
Thank you very much for joining us today again. If you want to learn more about Ute's work, please visit her website at utesinternationallounge.com. Until next time, be well.